Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with honor and glory. Thou hast made him have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. What a joy it is to be here today and to see this fine group of exes and presents and past and future. What a good looking group. Well, excusing some of them, by the way. And by the way, I've already warned Trevor Jones. He behaves himself. I don't want to have to call him down, as I used to do about every other Sunday. All of you, it's good to see you, and God bless you, and those over here as well, and I'm glad to see all of you, and I'm glad you're here today. Well, I've used enough runway. Open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible, the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about in the book of Galatians, chapter number 2. As you're finding your place in Galatians 2, I would remind you, as sure as night follows day, and day follows night, God still lives, and the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished under all good works. I'm glad today that we have the inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, and powerful, and precious, and perfect, and pure, and pontifical Word of God. And it's preserved for us in our own language, and I'm going to read Galatians chapter 2 at verse number 20 after we pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for this wonderful hour. Thank Thee for these precious ones that who, as they were growing up as young people and children, sat at the feet of their pastor and learned the Word of God, came to know Christ, and were baptized. Thank you for this great congregation today and for what it is doing and is going to do in the days to come. Now bless the reading of your word and the preaching to your honor and to your glory. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. I read Galatians chapter 2 at verse number 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Robert Dick Wilson was a renowned Bible scholar. He could read in 40 different languages. He could speak fluently 25 different languages. He was one time professor at Princeton University and later at Westminster Seminary. In one of his last lectures to his students, he made this statement, and I quote, "Students, after all these years of Bible study, the greatest truth I ever learned is this: Jesus loves me. This I know." Amen. How simple and yet how profound. These words from the lips of one of the greatest linguists of the 20th century, one of the sharpest minds. The poet said, "Wonderful things in the Bible I see, but dearest of all, that Jesus loved me." The hymn writer wrote these words, "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean." What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, unto him be glory and dominion forever and forever. I've entitled this message, "Just Because He Loves Me." I would have you to note in the first place, just because he loves me, he purchased my eternal salvation. I emphasize the word eternal because the only life that God gives is eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I give you Jesus' word on that. I love to quote Jesus. He said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." I'm glad that he gave himself for me. Look again at the words of the text. The last part of that verse says, "Who loved me and gave himself for me." No one drove Jesus to the cross. No one forced him to die. I give you his word on it. Here I go, quoting Jesus again. I love to quote Jesus. In John 10:17-18, Jesus said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again." Now watch this. He said, "No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up." And thank God he did take it up when he came forth from the grave, shouting, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and death." Bin Laden is dead. Jesus Christ is alive forevermore at the right hand of God to save all who will come to him by faith. He gave his head to wear a crown of thorns for me. He gave his hands and his feet to be nailed to the cross for me. He gave his side to be riven for me. He gave his back to be riddled by the Roman whip for me. He gave his life to die by cruel crucifixion for me. I see the crowd in Pilate's hall. I mark their wrathful mien, their shouts of crucify, appalled with blasphemy between. And of that howling multitude, I feel that I am one. And in that din of voices rude, I recognize my own. 'Twas I that shed the sacred blood. I nailed him to the tree. I crucified the Christ of God. I joined the mockery. Around the cross the throng I see, mocking the sufferer's gain. But still my voice, it seems to me, as if I'm mocked alone. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He came from the portals of heaven to the poverty of earth for me. Well, that's what he said. Yeah, I go quoting Jesus again. I love to quote Jesus. In John Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Can I tell you, my friend, when Jesus came from his Father's house in heaven to the sin-cursed world that we live in, he did not come to establish a new social order. He did not come to enlarge on the powers of Rome. He did not come to enhance the grandeur of Greece. He came on a mission of redemption. He came to save wretched sinners like you and like me. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness." Isaiah, the prophet of redemption, more than 750 years before Christ was born, described all of this in his 53rd chapter. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior. "He who was rich became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich." Remember what he said on one occasion? "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." They borrowed a bed to lay his head when Christ the Lord came down. They borrowed the ass and the mountain pass for him to ride to town. But the crown he wore and the cross he bore were his own. He borrowed the bread when the crowds he fed on the grassy mountainside. He borrowed the dish of broken fish with which he satisfied. But the crown he wore and the cross he bore were his own. He borrowed a ship in which to sit to teach the multitude. They borrowed a nest for him to rest. He had never a home so rude. But the crown he wore and the cross he bore were his own. He borrowed a room on the way to the tomb, the Passover lamb to eat. They borrowed a cave for him, a grave. They borrowed the winding sheet. But the crown he wore and the cross he bore were his own. The thorns on his head were worn in my stead. For me the Savior died. For guilt of my sin, the nails drove in when him they crucified. Though the crown he wore and the cross he bore were his own, they rightly were mine. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. I tell you in the second place that just because he loves me, he provides me daily care. In the economic crash of 1929, Mr. J.C. Penney, the department store magnate, became so worried he could not sleep night or day. He developed a serious case of shingles. He was hospitalized. No amount of medicine would ease the pain. He was so completely broken mentally and physically, he became obsessed with death and dying. On a given Saturday night, he wrote a farewell letter to his wife and to his son. He did not think he could live till morning. But early the next morning, there came sounds from the hospital chapel. A chorus was singing. He struggled to get out of the bed and down the way to the hall and into the entry of the chapel. And they were singing, "God will take care of you." Through every day along the way, God will take care of you. I'll let Mr. Penny tell the rest of the story in his own words. I quote, "Suddenly, something happened. I cannot explain it. I can only call it a miracle. I felt as if I had been instantly lifted out of a dungeon into a warm, brilliant sunlight. I felt as if I had been transported from hell to heaven. I felt the power of God as never before. And I knew that God was there with me and with his love to help me. These were the most dramatic moments of my life. And I know that God will take care of you." Ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad I can say with all finality and without any fear of contradiction that God will take care of you and me, all because he loves us. That's what John said in 1 John 4:10. "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation," that is the mercy seat, the place of sacrifice, "for our sins. When I am troubled, he gives me peace." I'm going to quote Jesus again. I love to quote Jesus. In the Gospel according to John at chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When I am lonely, he gives me companionship." In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul quoted Jesus. He loved to quote Jesus too. And when he quoted Jesus and I quote Paul, I'm quoting, in essence, I'm quoting Jesus. So I'm going to quote Jesus again. Hebrews 13, 6, he said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." When I am depressed, he gives me courage to press on. In Isaiah 41 and verse 10, the prophet Isaiah quoted God. He loved to quote God. Can you believe that? Isaiah quoted God. So when I quote Isaiah, I'm quoting God. Isaiah 41, 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." When I am weak, and that's often, he gives me strength. One of my favorite passages of scripture is Deuteronomy 33 and verse number 25. "Thy shoes shall be as iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." And I tell you, my friend, I claim that promise every day. And if you'll just pardon the personal reference, many of you know I've had some health issues. I get up a lot of the mornings and I say, "Hey, I'm not going to make it today." I come to church to preach and I say, "Hey, I'm not going to be able to preach." But you know, when I get in the pulpit, something happens. I just feel better right here than I do anywhere else. I want to be here some more. I'm saying to you, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. When I'm discouraged, he gives me grace. 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee. Paul quoted God again. And when I quote Paul there, I'm quoting God. Isn't that wonderful? I love to quote God too. And I'm afraid he gives me assurance. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When I am tempted, he makes a way of escape." 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul wrote, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Someone wrote a poem entitled "Abiding and Confiding." "I have learned the wondrous secret of abiding in the Lord. I have found the strength and sweetness of confiding in His Word. I have tasted life's pure fountain. I am drinking of His blood. I have lost myself in Jesus. I am sinking into God. I am crucified with Jesus, and He lives and dwells within me. I have ceased from all my struggling. 'Tis no longer I, but He. All my will is yielded to Him, and His Spirit reigns within, and His precious blood each moment keeps me cleansed and free from sin. For my words, I take His wisdom. For my works, His Spirit's power. For my ways, His ceaseless presence guards and guides me every hour. Of my heart, He is the portion. Of my joy, boundless spring, Savior, sanctifier, healer, glorious Lord and coming King." Little wonder the psalmist wrote in Psalm 24, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The King of glory is His name. The King of glory, His title of fame. The King of glory, He ransomed me. The King of glory, His face I'll see. The King of glory, the sinner's friend. The King of glory is coming again. Coming again. Coming again, the King of glory is coming again. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. I show you in the third place that just because He loves me, He prepared my future home. A tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, I now can sing all glory to God. I'm a child of the King. A child of the King. A child of the King. All glory to God. I'm a child of the King. He has gone to prepare a place. That's what He said. Here I go, quoting Jesus again. I'm going to quote Him one more time. He said in John 14 verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." I read one of these perverted versions that says, "In my Father's house are many rooms." Well, I want you to know, if you don't know the difference between a room and a mansion, I don't want you for my real estate dealer. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you," here it is, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The beloved Apostle John, on the lonely Isle of Patmos, where he had been banished for the gospel, gives us a sneak preview of what our eternal home is going to be like. He said in the Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Did you hear what John said? He shall wipe away all tears. The one word that describes the history of our world is tears. Mother's tears and daddy's tears and the baby's tears, and we've all shed our tears. But thank God there'll be no more tears, because he will wipe away all tears from our eyes. And thank God he'll make all things new. Won't it be wonderful to live in a new world? No funerals, no crippled children's homes, no hospitals, no walking canes, no wheelchairs. Nothing to cause pain or sorrow. Oh, and by the way, John said in the Revelation 22, he showed me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street thereof, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit. Can you believe that? 12 different kinds of fruit. Oranges, apples, tangerines, pomegranates. 12 of them all at one time. And the leaves of the tree will be for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, for the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Oh, I love this. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and forever. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful home. My heavenly home is bright and fair. Nor pain nor death can enter there. Its glittering towers the sun outshine. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I'm going home to die no more. I'm going home to die no more. Amen. To die no more. I'm going home to die no more. And by the way, if you get there before I do, look for me. I'm coming too. Amen. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I'm bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land. And I'm not getting up a load to go right now, but I want you to be ready when the time comes. Let's stand, please, for our prayer. Every head is bowed and the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to speak. I don't know your heart. I don't know the kind of life you're living. I don't know where your church membership is, some of you. I don't know what you're doing day by day, but I do know one thing. Jesus loves you. This I know, Well, the Bible tells me so. Do you love him? Have you given your heart and life to him? Have you trusted him as your Savior? Have you joined the church? Have you followed Christ in believer's baptism? Are you walking daily with him? Are you bound for the promised land? Can you say today, he's my Savior? How many of you could say this morning, this is not to embarrass you. I've been in the ministry 60 years and I've never embarrassed a congregation. How many of you would say, I know that if I were to die today, I know heaven. I'm not perfect, but heaven is my perfect home. Would you put your hand up real high? Put it up. Keep it up. God bless you. You may put them down. Some of you couldn't lift your hand. Why don't you make a change in that today? And the next time a pastor asks, how many of you could say by the lifted hand, you know if you die, you could raise your hand. Come and trust him. If you're not walking with him as you should be walking, the joy bells are not ringing as they should, your life is not counting for Christ as you want it to, there's some problems, there's a prayer need, there's a burden, there's something difficult, there's something strange, there's something unusual happening, and you need to find out what it's all about at an altar prayer. I invite you to come. Father, speak to all of our hearts this morning. I pray that every person in this room would know before leaving this place that all is well. Though they're not perfect and will not be until Jesus comes and translates us into his likeness. But they would say, I know I'm where I ought to be in God's economy. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm living the life that he wants me to live. They need reinforcement or rededication or recommitment or realignment today. I pray they would step out right now in Jesus' name while we sing, while we wait, while we pray.